Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Conscious Capitalist Show. I'm your host, King. I have a very exciting show for you tonight. Tonight, we're going to deal with definitely one of the most pressing issues or problems that are facing the Black community. We have a gentleman on the line who's our guest, who has a program that I believe will bring about the needed change as it relates to this systemic problem. And so let me begin by introducing our next gentleman by reading his bio. His name is Kelvin Maynors, and he's a returning citizen from incarceration and a U.S. Army veteran. He has had many successes and challenges in his life. After high school, he entered the military where he served during Desert Storm. By the end of his service, Kelvin was not only an active alcoholic, but a drug addict as well. Although he was liked by his coworkers on the job, he always showed professionalism and was very knowledgeable at work. He continued to sabotage his great efforts by relapsing on drugs and alcohol. While Kelvin was released from active addiction to drugs, from active duty, he's addicted to drugs and alcohol. He was not released from the old unhealthy values that he had acquired over the years. It was those values that led him to the criminal lifestyle of drug dealing until his incarceration in 2009. He served 5 years for possession with the intent to distribute cocaine and marijuana, also unlawful possession of ammunition and attempted possession of controlled substance. It was during those 5 years of incarceration that Kelvin was able to find the place where he belonged. Kelvin's place was an active participation in lives of returning citizens from incarceration and veterans. Kelvin Maynors, through spiritual, started a program for drug dealers while incarcerated called Arm in Arm. During his time in prison, Arm in Arm evolved to include all inmates in a formalized curriculum. Through life experiences, college courses, and training in behavior therapy, addictions, counseling, theology, Kelvin Maynors has reformatted the program Arm in Arm to address the returning citizens from incarceration and veterans, and uses an empathetic approach to help these individuals to see how unhealthy and irrational past choices have led to undesired consequences today. The program consists of open topic discussion groups, cognitive behavior workshops, and maintenance groups to offer continued support to individuals as they begin new chapters in their lives that include family relationships, work relationships, and community involvement. Arm in Arm is currently running weekly in Arlington, Virginia, and Fairfax, Virginia, with much success. Now, Arm in Arm's mission is to empower individuals returning home from incarceration with tools that will enable them to make rational elevations of themselves, their situations, and their circumstances, and they make healthy and proactive decisions as they navigate their way back into society. So I'm very excited to bring Kelvin on our show, who is the founder and executive director of Arm in Arm. Welcome to the Conscious Capitalist, Kelvin. How are you doing today?
I am awesome, Brother King. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's my pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on. As you know, one of the things we want to do is continue to spread the best practices of businesses who adopt the Conscious Capitalism business model. And so we're definitely excited to have you on the show, and particularly excited about the type of program you decided to create. So let's get right into it. Our first question we'd like to begin to ask our guest is, What is your purpose or your story in life?
This, Brother King, is to help individuals who are in prison, physical prison, or a valued prison to gain freedom. And we do that, and I do that actually as an individual first by sharing my own personal story with individuals to offer hope for individuals who may not see light at the end of the tunnel. And I also direct them to the organization of Arm in Arm, which is now we are a 501c3 nonprofit, to our organization and to the programs that we have, one being a 12-week program, the other being a 9-month program, and then a 1-year program. We offer those programs to individuals that they may find solace in our programs or want to walk along with us as we navigate ourselves through.
Okay. Now, what would you say? You kind of alluded to a little bit of it, but you can expand on the answer in this question. What is the higher purpose of Arm in Arm?
Well, the higher purpose for in Arm in Arm is to bring individuals from their current condition, situation, most of which being returning citizens from incarceration or veterans dealing with social adjustment disorders, into a level or an experience of freedom and wholeness, not only for themselves as individuals, but also in the lives of their families and in their communities.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, as you create a program of this magnitude with this mission and purpose in life, you know, one has to ask, what are your core values in your life?
Actually, that is a very good question. One of the core values that Kelvin has and has learned through my own life experiences and my own path and purpose has been that I must be transparent. I must be able to talk about what's truly going on with me and share that, because that's just keeping it real, if you will. And people see that. As I'm being real, then people are able to receive me a whole lot easier as opposed to putting on facades and images. That's what we're trying to bring people from. The next core value is empathy. I have to be empathetic in my approach. As I'm talking to people, I have to meet people exactly where they are. I can't do a big I and a little you and expect people to be right on board with me. I have to meet people exactly where they are. And the last one, and most importantly, is love, Brother King. I have to offer love in my approach with people so people will understand and be willing to transfer that in their own walk.
Okay. I could definitely agree with those values, specifically love. I believe, as I share with everyone, that to me, love is the energy that connects us all. And it's an energy source that is the creator. I believe love is a synonym for God. And we all want to be connected to that. We all want to share that. We all want to experience it. And if you put yourself on the path of love, then from my experience, you know, life is much more fulfilling.
I agree with you.
Now, who has been your greatest inspiration in your life?
I'd have to say the greatest inspiration in my life, I would not have said this same response if you'd asked me this 5 years ago. But through a change in focus in my life and maturity that has happened as a result of my incarceration and my life experiences, I understand that inspiration being my grandfather. My grandfather was a gentleman who was very level. And what I mean by that, he wasn't a person that you've seen out of character very much unless he had much of his booze in him. But the kicker is this, no matter how much Grandpa had in him, he always had the mindset to go home. And not only did he go home, one of the things was the next day when you saw him, he was still himself. He'd be laying in the lounge chair with something to eat, and he always had love, Brother King, to offer to whomever it was. It wasn't just, you know, us as his grandchildren or my mom and them as his children, but people in the neighborhood, the people at the stores. He had That was before credit cards, so he had a line of credit wherever you went, you know, just on his word alone. And that was is what truly showed me what being a man was, when I can say something and people would believe it. So it showed me about being accountable to my word and responsible to others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what would you say has been your greatest challenge with launching Arm in Arm?
Well, that would have been not only being a returning citizen from incarceration, but a returning citizen without a college degree and several letters. Also being a returning citizen without a college degree and several letters behind my last name in an environment that is so used to looking at people in a particular light. Arm in Arm is a peer-to-peer reentry program. We're not a service-oriented organization, which simply means that we have a particular modality for an individual or a group of individuals, and this is their treatment plan, if you will. We meet individuals where they are, so there are no big I's and there are no little U's in Arm in Arm. What we do is we understand, first of all, that people are on different levels on their journey. And so we are able to not only address individuals empathetically on whatever level they are on, but we are also able to assign them or attach them with individuals who have similar backgrounds. And that's the empathetic piece, or the peer-to-peer, if you will, piece that we go forth in.
Okay. Now, one of the terms I continually hear you say is returning citizen. And I know that you were the first one that I've ever heard use that terminology, you know. And so I just kind of want to focus on that on a little bit, because I know that that may be new to our listening audience. And how did you come, or the organization you work with come up with the term returning citizens? And why did you all decide to use, I mean, I know it's kind of obvious, but I want to hear your thought process for deciding to use that description as opposed to what we normally hear with ex-offenders or ex-convicts or those type of labels that are usually bestowed upon our brothers and sisters who are returning back to society.
Well, I'm glad that you asked that, Brother King, and that's a very good question. First of all, I did not coin returning citizens. The first time I read returning citizens, it was in a book. And I said at that point that from now on, that's what I will call myself. However, as time has gone on, I found out that I wasn't the only one that was using the terminology of returning citizens. The thing about, as you just said, ex-con, formerly incarcerated, those are negative connotations to individuals that individuals will internalize and begin to look at themselves negatively. The biggest challenge that individuals have is what, not so much as what someone else says, but what their self-talk says to them. As a returning citizen, I am reminded that I am a returning citizen, but it also talks about returning and then citizen first, that I have returned and I'm moving forward. So as opposed to looking back at a previous action, I'm looking forward toward the journey that I'm on.
I love that answer too, by the way. Thanks for sharing that answer. But do you find that people are reluctant to adopt that phrase, or what has been your experience as you go around and you're saying returning citizens to individuals? Do they tend to adopt that as your conversation continues to grow, or do they still stay steadfast with saying ex-offenders or ex-convict or? Yeah, I'm just curious to see how people are responding when you stand up and you say, no, we're returning citizens, and here's why. Those X terms are negative, and we want to begin to focus on the future and not so much the past.
Absolutely, and very interesting question. One of the pieces is this. Many individuals still say ex-offender, formerly incarcerated, things of this nature, and it is us as returning citizens to correct this language and bring people into the new language, which is returning citizens, so their mindset will be changed against us or towards us. One of the pieces that I run into, Brother King, is as I'm putting information on a computer, or if I might be writing a blog or things of that nature, it has been suggested that I use ex-offender. And I have actually done that for certain situations, because those are the wordings that are put in search engines. They're already there. Ex-offender, formerly incarcerated, will pop up. But if you put in returning citizen, you won't get the same response in different types of search engines. So unfortunately, I still have to use it while also bearing the responsibility of bringing about the change.
Now, something else you said earlier that I want to bring as a point of emphasis, kind of focus on, because I think it's important as we really begin to talk about a mindset and how individuals see themselves, use the term self-talk. And so now, how important do you see self-talk with a person who's a returning citizen coming back into society? How important is having him or your organization working with him to develop positive self-talk? How important is that as far as having them transition back into society?
Well, it's paramount. It's tantamount. Brother King, one of the pieces is in any program that an individual might be in arm in arm, or hopefully any reentry organization, the focus is what my talk is to myself. What really matters is what I tell me. We have a particular task, if you will, in the first 4 weeks of Arm in Arm, which is actually called Purpose Talk, support groups, where individuals do a Who Am I assignment. And in the Who Am I assignment, individuals sit down, take an introspective look, and whatever it is that they see, as far back as they can remember, they begin writing these things out. And if they write them out, then they take the risk of sharing this information in their respective groups. Our self-talk, what I say to me, is a whole lot louder and real to me than what anyone else says. Now, what you say to me, my self-talk will interpret it in a particular way depending on how I cultivate my self-talk. So it's necessary for me to feel myself with positive things that are going in a direction where I plan to go, as opposed to things that are about things that I don't want to be about. For instance, certain types of TV shows, certain types of music, certain types of conversations. I have to make sure that I have a balance in my life and address these things, because these are the things that become, most importantly, my identity. My self-talk actually is what determines how I identify myself. And that in itself is what determines what my behavior will be, and it also determines what my character will be and my destiny.
Absolutely. You know, in talking about self-talk, it reminds me of a quote by a gentleman by the name of Og Mandino. He's the author of a great book called The Greatest Salesman in the World. And it's a great book that I recommend everyone read as it relates to not just selling, but just really understanding the importance of having the right thoughts in your head. And his quote says, "If I said half of the things thoughts say to you, could we still be friends?"
I like that.
So as it relates to self-talk, I just think that, you know, a lot of people constantly beat themselves up with their thoughts. And, you know, and it's so important, and particularly, and I really want to dwell on this for a moment, because I'm a person, as a conscious leader, I believe that to stay on that journey of being a conscious leader, that which you're feeding your mind, I call it mind food, is very important, because the mind food is what is going to control your thoughts. And
yes,
having thoughts that are negative or counterintuitive toward you growing as an individual, or even having a positive day, or even having a positive outlook on your day. So I'm glad that you deal with that as you in your programs and the work that you do.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. And the thing is it becomes part of us. What happens is it develops into subconscious. And so it's just a natural response just to different types of things. It's like you may drive home and not even realize, wow, you know, I made a left here, or I stopped at a light there. You just do things instinctually. And it's important to be able to check ourselves, you know, and move with purpose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how has creating the arm-in-arm philosophy that you just kind of described, and you can get more in depth as well, but how has creating that helped you grow as an individual, as a person?
Wow. One of the pieces is this. The workshops that I do in Arm in Arm are workshops that come out of me. I have maybe 4 workshops that I have gotten from other organizations, and they're all on behavior. Behavior therapeutic approaches, the cognitive piece, and the rational approach to be able to deal with issues in a particular spectrum. Everything else, Brother King, comes out of my own life experiences or things that I have observed from people personally. And these have been things that when I observe them, I instantly reflect on what my own life was. For instance, I do a workshop called Hiding Out, and I talk about this quite a bit because it's so important. There are different approaches to hiding out. One approach may be you may be directed to support groups by your probation officer. You choose Arm in Arm because this is a bunch of returning citizens, although you may not use that particular phrase, returning citizen. But you come to the group, and what you do is have your cell phone, and you begin texting underneath the phone. Underneath the table. Or you begin nodding out while you're in the group. Whatever you do, you're being disengaged. And these type of things come about as a result of what we've been used to. So we have to be able to address these things, and then as we address them, we take a look at them and go forth in them. Then we can do something about them.
Now, you mentioned earlier that Arm in Arm is a peer-to-peer support network, and I wanted you to talk about why it's important for it to be peer-to-peer, why you choose that particular format for engaging and building the model around.
Well, one of the biggest pieces is this, is individuals who haven't been from a particular background really don't relate to what the stressors and challenges are of other individuals who have. A book can give you a certain amount of insight. It can also give you a particular direction and a format to bring bring about a change. But me being a particular individual who has had a particular background, I know it well. So it's not just from my intellectual piece or side that I go from. I'm not just moving intellect. I'm going from my heart because of my experiences that I've felt, what I've actually experienced. And I'm also going from, again, the other piece being my experience, my life experiences. So when you speak to certain individuals, you already know where they're from. You know that they are from your sect, if you will, or your hood, if you will. And just like if you are in prison, certain individuals gravitate towards particular individuals. Why? Because you are alike. You have things in common. And so you gel, if you will, and you go forth in a particular area or mindset or venture. And that is what the peer-to-peer model does. We are the same individuals, and incarceration or transition from the military happens to be the fabric that we start with. But we begin building in different clothing the whole structure. So we go from the peer-to-peer of what our basis is into dealing with domestic violence from our background, or may have been larceny, might have been our background, drug dealing for some may have been our background, addiction and things of this nature, but we go forth together.
That's excellent. Now, what are some of the rituals and daily practices that you do to keep yourself positive and focus as a conscious leader and staying on task and on purpose with fulfilling Arm in Arm's mission?
I'm glad that you use that you asked that particular question. One of the biggest things that I do is take time alone. I have to take an objective look at myself, and that's called self-examination. To be able to see where I am. And I have to be able to have a system in place to measure myself. If I don't take time to take a look at me, then I might be all over the place, or anybody might be able to come up to me and direct me into something that I may not particularly want to be about. So as I take time in self-examination every day, then I'm able to gauge and see myself, or even applaud myself or reprimand myself. You know, maybe I shouldn't use the word reprimand, but I'm able to check myself. So I do these things. I spend time in prayer. I spend time in meditation. I spend time in gratitude. I also spend time in building my mind. And that is so important for me to do and individuals to do if I plan to grow. I have been really blessed with an awesome wife of 25 years who also helps me to expand my vocabulary. So it's important that I take time in building myself up, and also especially in ways of experiencing things that I've never experienced. And that's another piece, experiencing something new. That's something that I focus on at least once a month.
Okay. Now, as you begin to interact with different returning citizens, do you have a reluctance to deal with certain returning citizens based on what their crime was, or Arm in Arm welcomes opens its doors to all returning citizens, regardless of what their crime was, whether it was murder or drug dealing or sexual crimes or whatever the charge may have been?
Let me start the answer to that question this way. When I first started Arm in Arm originally started as a program for drug dealers only. And the reason why is because I was an incarcerated drug dealer. And I was looking at my own life, and I was able to see the challenges that are against many individuals and the commonalities that we have in common. So many of the challenges that I face, I heard other individuals putting in high esteem. So one of the pieces that one of the approaches I began to take was to look at those things and see how they gave a significance or value. Now, that being said, when I went to federal prison after doing time in the state, I saw the plight of many young men. And the bottom line was, Brother King, that they just simply didn't know any different. So I became more open to different approaches to individuals, and that's when I began incorporating the cognitive techniques that I currently use today, rational self-analysis, rational emotive behavior techniques, and things of this nature, positive challenge and rational challenge. One of however, there are two actual areas where arm in arm is not yet equipped to completely or fully bring individuals or walk completely with individuals, because again, we are empathetic. So one being sex offenders. We're not properly trained to deal with certain sex offenders and also certain violent crimes. One of the things that I do with individuals who come to Arm in Arm is I do an intake. And as I do an intake, during the intake process, what it does is screens individuals to find out what their background is, what their support system is, what their interests are, and what they hope to gain from Arm in Arm. And these are the tools that I utilize to determine whether or not this person will be a good fit for Arm in Arm and for Arm in Arm to be a good fit for them. Now, however, what we also have is network partners or agencies and organizations that are local that we are able to refer individuals to that they can have a complete and full transition into their communities, into their families, and for their own health. Also, after individuals pass or surpass particular obstacles in their own history or in their own right now, they can be referred back to Arm in Arm. And this is what is established in our network partnerships.
Okay. Now, do you find yourself judging when you're talking to clients who come with the Arm in Arm? And what I mean by that, let me kind of really set the context of the question is, I know that certain people, typically in society, when you tell someone that you are a returning citizen, that the first thing they're going to do is, you know, they want to ask you what's your crime, and then they're going to mm-hmm. judge you based off what that crime was. Do you find yourself judging as you're listening when you go through your intake process that you just described?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm in the middle of the process, just like other members of Arm in Arm and just like our society is. So to answer that question, is yes at times. And you know what happens? Every time I get hit in the face, and what I mean by that is I get amazed by what individuals whom I may have judged bring. Because we need all of us to be a whole unit. I am amazed when an individual who is using profanity, every other word will say something that just puts me, just makes me drop my jaw, you know, because I'm in awe by the in-depthness of this person's response or this person's the way that they handle certain situations and circumstances. Because, again, we are all very unique, and in order for me to be able to receive something from you, I have to first be open to it. So I've learned each time that I've done that to just back away from that and shut that down. And, again, that's self-talk. So it's an opportunity to continue to self-discover how I am categorizing or judging people, and then be able to, and it helps me to meet people where they are. And I'm always the receiver of the benefit.
Now, how has Arm in Arm been received, number one, by the community? Now, I noticed you said that you also have Arm in Arm currently running in Arlington, Virginia, and Fairfax County, Virginia. And how has Arm in Arm been received by the local government as well?
Interesting question. Initially, in Arlington, Virginia, one of the questions I was asked, well, why would you choose Arlington to start your organization? Another question I was asked was, what makes you think that you're qualified to work with returning citizens. Well, after my background and having come home after 5 years of incarceration, I think that I'm qualified. And that was before I became a certified peer recovery specialist. So I had some challenges in Arlington, Virginia. However, as we continue to persevere and produce results, and individuals began to not only be more receptive to us, but they also began to applaud us and support our work and refer us. I just got a call today from the Secretary of the Commonwealth to invite me to a group meeting on Monday at in Richmond. So we are being very well received. We were invited by an organization to join, to partner with them in the Fairfax area. That's how we got there now. So many organizations are aware, as well as citizens, are aware of us and the work that we do today. Whereas in the beginning, as you're I'm sure very aware of, change is not, and new things is not easily accepted. So we've
correct.
Had our challenges, but we have truly succumbed them all. Well, I won't say them all, but many of them. And the results, Brother King, is what truly has changed the mindsets and the hearts of not only community members, but government officials as well.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier that you're a certified peer recovery specialist.
That's correct.
And can you kind of explain to our listening audience exactly what that is?
A certified peer recovery specialist, you have peer counselors, then you have peer specialists, then you have certified peer recovery specialists. And I am a person who is certified through with an international certification that allows me to go, even though I'm certified by the Virginia Service Board here in the state of Virginia, but I could go to Washington, D.C. and simply register. I can go to the state of Maryland and simply register and be certified in these different localities as well. And now the peer-to-peer recovery specialist means that I have a background in four particular modalities, which is advocacy, support, mentoring, and I just got brain lock. Mentoring and it'll come to me. But so there's four modalities that I am trained in. It just came to me, and I missed that. The whole focus is, my particular background is incarceration, addiction, alcoholism, and homelessness. And it also has to do, because again, we are peer-to-peer with individuals that we're not only trained, but we have the life experience in those areas also. So it's the empathetic piece that means so much.
Now, who is the target market for Arm in Arm?
Well, good question. Because what I have done over the last 3 months, in the beginning, we were returning citizens from incarceration and veterans. Now we are returning citizens from incarceration, veterans, and community. And the reason why I simply said community, because first it was implied. In order for me to be a returning citizen whole and healthy, I come to Arm in Arm, and Arm in Arm helps me as a returning citizen or veteran in transition deal with the challenges that I have within, one of which we spoke about, self-talk, another which will be the way that I process my value system, another which may be what my environment is. But what is also so very important is my community receiving me. So the advocacy piece of Arm in Arm is when we go forth at different functions and we talk about the importance of, let's say, homeowners or community members being receptive to the returning citizen and their particular plight in order to build this whole and healthy community. Everybody, absolutely everybody, has something that they're dealing with, many of which simply haven't been discovered yet. But I am as free as I am transparent. And that is the piece that we bring forth in our advocacy work or our community talk when we go forth.
Okay. Now, who would you say is, can you name some of the, and you mentioned this earlier, some of the workshops or services that you provide and to your target market, to your stakeholders?
Oh, absolutely. Again, the first phase of Arm in Arm, Arm in Arm's first program that I'm going to go into is our 12-week week reentry program, and it's a community-based program. First phase of that is called Moving with Purpose, Support Group Meetings. And in that, he was talking about the target audience. In that, we are usually looking at the returning citizen who is coming home from incarceration. We're also looking at the veteran who is in transition and who has had a background in social adjustment disorders. And as well as you have family members of inmates, because they haven't returned home yet, who are dealing with their own personal challenges and unhealthy maybe mindsets or upbringings. What we're looking to do is bring people into a state of peace and a state of acceptance that they will be able to make evaluations of themselves, their situations, and their circumstances to achieve their desired result. So not only are we working with, in that particular modality, are we working with the returning citizens, the family, and the returning veterans, but we are dealing with individuals who are touched by them as well. So community includes everyone. And during our second phase, which is called Empowering Tools and Education and Cognitive Workshops, we begin building individuals up. That's where we empower individuals. So one of the workshops would be self-esteem. In that particular workshop, we deal with individuals. If I were to ask you a question, Brother King, is which is better, high self-esteem or low self-esteem? You may say high self-esteem, but high self-esteem means that I'm esteeming myself more so than you, and that in itself is where arrogance comes from. That in itself keeps individuals from focusing on others and being too self-focused and leads to, for some, criminalities, for others, self-centeredness, and other self-issues. Another workshop that we have is image versus character. Image versus character deals with individuals who have been hiding for so long in image that they've forgotten how to dream or what their dreams were or how to get out of the character. If I let it down, then what would I be or who would I be? And that is a very important workshop for individuals when they first come home. Another workshop would be something like why change? And I'm talking about why change with an exclamation mark and a question mark. Because, again, the question could be simply a matter of self-talk, well, why change? Or it could be, why change? You know, as a person is exasperated, just fed up. And what we do in that workshop is find out, we take a look at the reason why change is necessary. And our focus in Arm in Arm, Brother King, is not change, but transformation. If I change, then I can change back. But if I transform, caterpillar to butterfly, there is no turning back. I am what I am now, and nor do I want to go back because I have wings that fly. Another one that we have is five stages of change. And many people don't realize that. You have there's five different stages of change where individuals are in at any given time. Sometimes we may be ready for change, but we haven't put our foot in to the change. And sometimes we have put our footing to the change, which is the action stage, and we are working on towards the change. And before we put our footing to the change is the pre-contemplation. That means I have no idea what, you know, what I'm going to do or anything. But then I began thinking about it, and that's the contemplation. And then I began to start doing, taking some steps toward it. That's the action. And then as I'm continuing in the action, then I'm doing maintenance. And then as I'm doing the maintenance, you know, then things are flowing more and more and more, and I continue from one stage to the next. Now, those are several examples of the groups that we have or the workshops that we offer. But there is a number. One of the ones that I have recently written is called Role Model. And it goes that everyone is a role model. And not many people realize that, because we continually hear that, oh, yeah, he's a good role model, or she is not a good role model, when in actuality, everyone is a role model because someone is watching you and someone is learning from you. You're influencing someone because that's who we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, to kind of shift focus to getting back around the conscious capitalism principles of higher purpose, stakeholder integration, conscious leadership, and then conscious culture, one of the key components, or I would say one of the key necessities of being a conscious leader and having a conscious business model, is clearly defining who your stakeholders are and having a, what's called a stakeholder integration plan for communicating with them, evaluating and measuring how effective that communication is, and just really having a way of getting feedback so that what you're building from a company standpoint, the growth comes from listening and including your stakeholders' opinions, insights, problems, and incorporating those changes into your business. And so with that being said, have you established a stakeholder integration plan or a process for identifying your key stakeholders? You know, in your case, stakeholders being a community, stakeholders being government officials, stakeholders being your clients, returning citizens, stakeholders being other strategic nonprofit partners that can provide jobs and skill trainings, things of that nature. So have you established a stakeholder integration plan for identifying your key stakeholders? And then have you developed a process for getting engaged with them as well?
Absolutely, Brother King, and you hit that again, once again, a very good question. The stakeholders for Arm in Arm, first of all, one of the key stakeholders is the returning citizen from incarceration, the veteran, and the community member. Why? Because they have the opportunity to gain the most or be the greatest loser in all of this. So it behooves them to not only be involved for themselves, which is the beginning first three stages of Arm in Arm, but afterwards they have the opportunity to become one of these peer counselors or peer specialists or peer recovery specialists, as I am. And these are all offered to individuals who come through Arm in Arm, so they can go on own service in the community, in their family, and in the lives of others, and continue to build up stakeholders. We also target certain service organizations, such as Opportunities, Alternatives, and Resources, or OAR of Fairfax, who we partner with, that they offer services for individuals that gives them case management, also offers certain transportation support for individuals, certain basic life skill trainings, as well as educational trainings. As far as government, we network with social service organizations. We also network with county and local organizations, such as Sacramento Child Services. So individuals who are maybe a single mom or dad will have some support for their children while they are participating in Arm in Arm. We also network with organizations that are looking for employment. Organizations, if they have openings, they will contact us, let us know they have job fairs, or they may email me and tell me they have positions in particular areas. What I would do in turn is individuals who come to Arm in Arm, I would sign a card, give these cards to individuals and tell them to go and apply. As they go to these organizations are assured that the individuals who have come through Arm in Arm and has been referred to them will have a certain mindset level. They will have a certain training and cognitive level as in their approach to dealing with their work assignment, dealing with others, and dealing with the public.
What would you say is one of your most greatest successes that you've achieved by being involved with Arm in Arm?
Greatest success. That's a really good question, because actually just last night I was talking to a young man about many. The greatest success that I continually achieve is the opportunity to see the light go off in the lives of other people when they get the message, when they get that they can. My focus in individuals' lives, Brother King, is to help individuals understand that they are significant. Everyone is. And we all have a need for significance. Many of us found our significance in slanging the drugs on the corner, or even taking something from somebody else to fulfill whatever want or need or purpose that we might have. What I do is help individuals to see that their significance is in doing what it is that they really dreamt about doing in the first place. When those old values begin to, when the foundation of those old values begin to crack and then crumble and fall down, what is produced from that wreckage is an individual who stands before you that is extremely vulnerable. And that individual stands before you at that time with a choice. Either I'm going to come and be transparent with these people, or I'm going to run back underneath the coverage of that wreckage of my image. And many of these individuals choose to continue to walk and let the light shine in and through them in their lives. And what comes out of that is HVAC operators, individuals who have their master certification in HVAC. Also what comes out of that is individuals who get their very first apartment and call and talk about it. You know, also individuals who now become bricklayers, also individuals who become office administrators and case managers. These are the results of individuals who take the risk of trying to go forth and saying, I can. And the greatest reward in that is to see when that brick falls down to that old foundation and they begin building on the new.
That's wonderful, man. I love how, you know, your program is really about helping to reconstruct, or, you know, using my IT background, I like to say reformat, you know, someone's mind and put them on a path of positive self-talk, as you like to say, and think about themselves in a different perspective, in a different light, and coming out with the intent to create value in society and want to be a valuable member of society. And I think that, you know, what you're doing is wonderful work. We're getting to the top of the hour, and I know that I have a lot more questions, but I'm sure we won't be able to get all the questions in the next 5 minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity right now to share your contact information so that our listening audience can find out more information about Arm&R.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you, Brother King. Actually, again, we are Arm&R Incorporated, and our website address is arm, like your left arm, A-N-D, arm, like your right arm, .org is our website. We also are on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So you can reach us at any of those locations. We have physical locations at Arlington, in Arlington, Virginia, at 3850 Wilson Boulevard, the second floor conference room, and that's in the Boston area, or at 2420 Sherlington Road, and that is in the Green Valley area of Arlington. Also in Fairfax, Virginia, at this particular time at 8053 Richmond Highway. That's the South County building, second floor, room 219 in Fairfax, Virginia. And as we just spoke, Brother King, I got an email from an individual that's talking about a contract, so stay tuned. I may have another location to add to the list. The phone number to reach us, though, is 571-245-4568. And that's Monday through Sunday, so there's not a day that you don't have to call. Someone will return your call. We're all going forth, and we're going forth arm in arm.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And just one more time, what's your website? You can repeat that again.
Yes, the website again is arm, like your left arm, and arm.org. That's arm and arm.org.
Okay, ARM.org?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, a couple of quick questions about conscious capitalism that we have to get in so we can let our listening audience know we're all on the same page and part of a big, happy family. That is, what do you find most appealing about conscious capitalism?
Well, when I first heard about conscious capitalism, the first thing that I said was, well, we are already conscious capitalists. Because what we focus on is social capitalism. We focus on collaborating, seeing what one person has to offer, and then taking that and helping someone else. And each one teach one, if you will. So the piece is you don't have to particularly do something for Kelvin or to come back towards Arm in Arm, but take the knowledge, take the skills, take the abilities that you have and help someone else. And that's what conscious capitalism is about. That's what I love so much about it. We have, in conscious capitalism, we have returning citizens, working with returning citizens. We have conscious capitalism with individuals are focused on greenery and community. We have individuals that are focused on the health of our foods. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It means that it's not about me, but it's about others, and it's about life, and it's fueled by love.
Absolutely, brother, absolutely. And, you know, that's an excellent way to bring our show to a close. Again, I want to thank you for being on our show today, Kevin Menards from Arm in Arm. I want our listening audience to please go out and visit the website. Get connected with Arm in Arm, and as we know, we need Arm in Arm in our communities. And I want to thank our listening audience for tuning in to the Conscious Capitalism Show. And until the next time, live with intent.
Absolutely, absolutely.